Please turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Because I am a fill-in, I am free to preach what's on my heart as opposed to what's in the bulletin. So please turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We'll be reading starting at verse 5. As you turn there, I just want to ask you, what are you anxious about this morning? What is it that keeps you up at night, or is the first thing that's on your mind in the morning? What makes you anxious? Let's read God's word from Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning to be fed. We're a people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We pray that we would not go away this morning unsatisfied. Would you feed us, good shepherd of the sheep, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Stephen Cole tells the story of a certain grandmother who was very, very reluctant to fly on an airplane. Some of you perhaps know what I'm talking about. And this grandmother, after many, many years of trying to convince her to set foot on a plane and to take a trip by air, was finally convinced that this is maybe a good idea, I'll try it. So the family gets grandma and they put her on a plane and she sets off on a flight. And when she comes back from her trip, the family is waiting for her at the airport. One of the younger members of the family asks her, sort of jokingly, "Well, grandma, did that plane hold you up all right?" She said, "Yeah, it did. But I never did put my full weight down on it." Many of us Christians are a lot like that grandmother. We are flying along on the plane of life, and we're thinking that by keeping our feet off the ground, we are somehow keeping ourselves up in the air. And yet the truth is that all of us are sustained and held up every moment of every day, of every week, of every year, by the God of heaven. And yet we're afraid to put our feet down. We're afraid to rest ourselves wholly on Him because we think that if we do, He's not going to be able to hold us up. The resulting emotion we feel is anxiety. Now there's a problem with anxiety. And the problem isn't just that you can't enjoy the flight as you're flying along through life. There's a deeper and more fundamental problem with anxiety. You see, the problem with anxiety is that it reveals a fundamental distrust of the Lord, and that's sin. Now, what is anxiety? Well, it's a feeling of nervousness. It's a feeling of worry that is generally resulting from some uncertainty about a future event or present circumstance. One commentator says that anxiety is attempting to carry the burden of the future upon yourself, generally related to something which you cannot control. What are the kinds of things that you're anxious about today? For many of us, the thing that causes the greatest amount of anxiety is our money. Pastor Mark was preaching last week, and he'll preach again today in the next two services about money. It is a source of great anxiety for many of us. We ask ourselves questions like, what if I lose my job? What if I never get another job? What if my retirement account doesn't bounce back? How am I going to be able to pay for my children's education? What if we need to be able to afford a decent assisted living facility at some point in time and we don't have the money? And we ask ourselves these questions and anxiety begins to well up in us. We begin to carry that burden of future circumstances which we really have no control over. For others of you, it's not money that causes you the greatest anxiety. It's your health. And you ask yourself questions. What if the test comes back positive? What if this next round of treatment doesn't work? What if my spouse or I begins to develop Alzheimer's or some other sort of thing that keeps us from being able to take care of ourselves? What are we going to do then, attempting to carry the burden of the future upon ourselves, things which we cannot control? For others of you, it's not your health or your money that causes you the greatest concern. For you, it's your family. And you ask yourself questions like, is my brother or sister ever going to respect me as a person? Are my children ever going to end their destructive ways? Will my daughter drop this guy she's with and find a good Christian man to marry? Are my parents going to ever love one another again as they used to? If you weren't anxious when you came in here this morning, maybe you're starting to get anxious now. I don't know about you, but for me, it's a great comfort to know that the Lord in His Word addresses us in our weakness. He addresses us in the very places in which we find ourselves in as fallen human beings. And one of those places is anxiety. And the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians, a people who are no strangers to anxiety. These are a people who aren't dealing with just piddly small things over which they're unnecessarily anxious. These people are being oppressed on account of their faith. They're being persecuted to some degree. The Apostle Paul even is in prison as he writes this letter. And so we could imagine, we could understand if they're starting to feel a little bit anxious when their very well-being is in danger. And yet what we find when we look at the Scripture is that the Apostle Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Now that raises a question in our minds, doesn't it? Because for most of us, anxiety is not one of those sins that we actually like doing. We don't generally want to be anxious. We're not happy about being anxious. And so the question is, okay, Paul, how do we find peace in the midst of our anxiety? I'm anxious. I know it. I want to quit. How do I do it? I wanted to suggest this morning that the Apostle Paul encourages us, teaches us, that we are to bore our anxiety to death. Now, I don't mean by that you need to sit down with your anxiety and read it bad poetry until it dies of boredom. But what I mean is that we need to bore it. B-O-R. It's an acronym for a three-step process that Paul gives us about how to put anxiety to death. Step number one in this process of boring your anxiety to death is B, believe the truth. Believe the truth. We read in verse 5, starting in the second half of the verse, Paul says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Now, this is something of an ambiguous term, and so commentators disagree. What does Paul mean when he says the Lord is at hand? There's one set of commentators who say that when Paul says the Lord is at hand, what he means is that the Lord is near in terms of space, that He's close by, that He's in the proximate vicinity of you. And there's another set of commentators who say that when Paul says the Lord is at hand, he's not talking about space. He's talking about the imminence of the Lord's return, that He's coming soon, and so He's near in terms of time. I happen to agree with a third set of commentators who say that Paul chooses this ambiguous term deliberately because what he wants to say is both things. The Lord is near in terms of space. We read throughout the Scripture that the Lord is near to us. We're no longer far off from Him, but through Jesus, we are near. In Psalm 145, verse 18, we read that the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. So the Lord is near to us in terms of space. And at the same time, the Lord is near to us in terms of time. What we read again throughout the Scriptures is that Jesus is coming soon. And the result of knowing that Jesus is coming back is that we are called to then have peace in the present, in the midst of whatever particular circumstances we face. The truth that we are called to believe is that the Lord is near. He's close to you. He's there, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Again, the psalmist says, he's also near in terms of time. He's coming back soon, the scriptures tell us. Now, I want you to think for a moment about the things that are causing you the greatest amount of anxiety. And I want you to ask yourself, how will I think about this particular circumstance or this particular thing when the Lord returns? If the Lord should come back today, how will I see this present struggle, this present fear? Begins to fade away, begins to lose its power. My intention this morning isn't to make light of any of your circumstances, any of the trials in which you find yourselves. That's not my intention at all. But what I want you to see, what I do want to make light, is the God who is so much bigger and so much greater and so much nearer than whatever it is that you're facing this morning. The Lord is at hand. This is the truth we must believe if we're going to put anxiety to death. George Mueller, who was famous in his day and continues to be famous as a great man of faith, he said this. He said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. I think he's right. Paul calls us here, believe the truth. When you are anxious, believe the truth that the Lord is at hand. That's step one. Believe the truth. The second step in boring your sins to death is, of course, the letter O. Obey the command. Obey the command. Now, this is dependent upon step one. You must first of all believe the truth that the Lord is near. And as you are believing the truth that the Lord is near, step two, obey the command. And we read it in verse 6. Apostle Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, that's the negative side of the command. This is, in Greek, the sense is even something like, stop being anxious. Stop being anxious. Okay, Paul, we hear you, but we've got all this nervous energy as a result of all of this uncertainty. What are we to do with this? Okay, we need to stop being anxious. Great, I've tried. What else? Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. So you're saying, Paul, that there's not anything over which I'm to be anxious, but what about this? And Paul says, don't be anxious. What about this? This is huge in my life right now. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Now, right, he's writing to people who are being persecuted, who are being oppressed for their faith. He's in prison, and he says, don't be anxious about anything. Okay, again, Paul, what do we do then? We've got this thing. It's right here. I want to be rid of it. What do I do? And Paul gives us the positive side of the command then in the second half of the verse. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The word he uses there is just as all-encompassing as the word he used in the previous phrase. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, let your requests be made known to God. Just as there are no exceptions as to what it's okay for us to be anxious about, similarly, there are no exceptions as to the concerns which we are called to bring to the Lord in prayer. Listen very carefully to this, because I think this is key for the whole thing that Paul is saying here. The key to not being anxious about anything is to pray about everything. The key to not being anxious about anything is to pray about everything. That's what the Apostle Paul would have us to understand here in this passage. He uses three words that are sort of function as synonyms here. He says prayer, supplication, and requests. Again, these words are very similar. There is some nuance, some slight distinction in the meaning of what each of the three are, and we're not going to go into that. The point of what he's saying is that the main counteroffensive which we are to have against anxiety, whenever it raises its ugly head, is to take those cares and those concerns and to turn them into prayers. And there's another key that Paul gives us here. It's a small little phrase, but it's essential. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Not simply offering up prayers, but we're offering up prayers of thanksgiving as well. You see, the heart that is most certain and that is constantly reminding itself of the way the Lord has been faithful in the past and thanking Him for those things is the heart that is most assured of His continuing care and His presence in the present. So prayer attacks anxiety in that it takes those concerns and those cares and delivers them up to the Lord, who is all-powerful, who is able to change any circumstance into something different than what it is. That's what we're doing in prayer. And at the same time, thanksgiving attacks anxiety, because what we are doing is we are accepting that the circumstance in which we find ourselves is not out of the control of the all-sovereign God of the universe, and that whatever it is that comes to us from His fatherly hand. Paul calls us to not be anxious about anything, but by praying about everything and also with thanksgiving. That's step two in this process of boring your anxiety to death. First of all, we're believing the truth. Second, we are obeying the command. And then we come to step three, which is, of course, the letter R. Receive the promise. Receive the promise. Now, again, you cannot come to step three without coming through steps one and two. But Paul begins verse seven this way. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice here that the peace which is promised to us is not dependent upon God changing the circumstance you're in. That's not what Paul says. What he says is that God is going to change you. He may or may not answer the prayers in the way in which you have prayed them, but what He will do and what is promised is that in the midst of that circumstance, whether or not it changes, He will give you peace. Let's look at that peace a little more closely. He says in verse 7 that this is the peace of God. And what he means there is that this is the peace which God produces. This is not a peace that you conjure up yourself or that you fool yourself into thinking that you have. This is the peace which God alone produces in the hearts of man. It is a supernatural peace. Consequently, what we find in the next phrase is that this peace is a peace which surpasses all understanding. Some of you are in circumstances today that you know if you were to feel any semblance of peace, it would have to be a supernatural act of God, because nothing about the circumstances you're in suggests that you should have peace. And that's exactly what Paul says. This is a peace that surpasses your understanding. It surpasses your ability to comprehend it. But here's the great news. Though you may not be able to comprehend this peace, that doesn't keep you from experiencing it right now. That's the promise, that God will produce a peace in your heart that will surpass your understanding, but it will transform your experience and transform you in this moment. And then the third thing he affirms about this peace is that this peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, when we're anxious, we're liable to all sorts of sins in order to cope with that anxiety. If we're anxious about our finances, we're liable to stop being generous, as the Lord has called us to do. If we're anxious about our health or anxious about our family, we're liable to all sorts of different kinds of things that the Lord has called us not to be doing, or we're likely to stop doing things He's called us to be doing. And so what Paul says is that this peace of God is going to guard your heart and it's going to guard your mind in Christ Jesus, so that you will do the things that are pleasing to Him and not do the things that aren't pleasing to Him, even in the midst of a circumstance that is greater than you are. My wife and I are currently in a number of circumstances which have been a source of anxiety for us over the last months. For one thing, while we've greatly enjoyed this pastoral internship at this church, it is by nature limited to 1 year. And that means that as of June 30th, I need a new job. Some of you are in that job search process, and you know the anxiety that can erupt as you're waiting for a phone call, and you're waiting for that email, and you're hoping that somebody has some good news for you. In addition to that, right about that time when this job ends for me, my wife and I are expecting our second child. And that's an exciting thing, and things are going very well in that pregnancy. But in our last ultrasound, it revealed that she has a couple of cysts on her brain. And this is not abnormal per se, but there is a chance in which it might not fix itself and it could cause some complications. Just enough chance to cause anxiety to begin to raise its head. In addition to that, my wife has recently developed a complication in regards to a pregnancy that may require surgery before the baby's delivered. And again, very low risk, but just enough that anxiety has room to begin to raise its ugly head. I don't mention these things to hold ourselves up as a paragon of how to fight anxiety, because I'll tell you, we fail constantly to do the very things at which I'm saying that Paul tells us to do here. We consistently fail to obey the command to not be anxious. But what we found is that when by His grace, He reminds us of these truths, that we're not on our own, that we're not holding this airplane up by ourselves, that the Lord is near and that He's coming again soon to right all that is wrong, we find that He is a God that we can turn to in prayer, that we can take these circumstances, that we can take these cares, and we can offer them up to Him in prayer and even have the audacity to be thankful in the midst of uncertain times, regardless of what the outcome may be. And we found that when by His grace we've been able to do this, that we have had peace, that we'll find occasionally look at each other and laugh because we're going, why are we feeling so good right now? And that's nothing special about us. That is the peace of God that is promised to all of His people who believe the truth that He's near, who offer up their cares and their concerns to Him in prayer and with thanksgiving. And He promises that you too can have peace even right now in the midst of this circumstance. And the reason you can have that peace is because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross. You see, the thing that we really need to be anxious about, if we're anxious about anything, is whether or not when Jesus comes again, we'll be found among those who are faithful, or whether we will find ourselves among those who have rejected Him as their King. If you're going to be anxious about anything this morning, be anxious about that. If you're not a Christian yet this morning, if you haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus, I'd encourage you not to look for this peace. You should feel anxious until you find your heart come to rest in the God of the universe who sent His only Son, so that you could have peace with Him and peace in the midst of every trying circumstance. What are you anxious about this morning? What is it that's got you tied in a knot? What is it that's keeping you up? Believe the truth. The Lord is near you. Obey the command to take those cares and turn them into prayers with thanksgiving. And obey the command not to be anxious about anything, by praying about everything. And finally, receive the promise of His peace. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word to us this day. We thank You that You know we are feeble and frail and made of dust, and that we still sin and we suffer from the consequences of our sinfulness. We thank You that in Jesus Christ You have provided the remedy for all of our sin and all of our sinfulness, and that you have even provided a remedy for the anxiety we feel in the day-to-day circumstances of life. Father, grant us grace to receive the truth of your word this morning, to believe it, to obey the commands you have given us, not so that you'll love us, but because you do love us. And may we each receive the promised peace that surpasses understanding until Jesus comes again. It's in his name we pray. Amen.